The clock on my phone said 7:12 a.m., but the light coming through the shutters said something else entirely. It was that soft, golden August light that makes you want to linger. I'd been in Tunis for 4 days, and this was the first morning I didn't have a single appointment, no bank forms to sign, no rental contracts to review. Just a free day stretching out ahead, which felt almost suspicious after the bureaucratic marathon of the past few days. I made coffee in the tiny kitchen of my Medina flat, a two-room place with a courtyard and a landlord who speaks three languages badly and charges about 900 dinars a month, roughly $300. The coffee was from a little shop near the Zidona Mosque, where the beans are roasted in the back and the smell follows you down the street. I drank it slowly, listening to the city wake up. The first call to prayer, the clatter of a metal shutter being raised on a shop below, the distinct sound of a cat demanding breakfast. I'd learned that lesson quickly here. By 8, I was out. The Medina was already stirring, the souks still half asleep. I walked past the grand souk de Chekias, where the red felt caps hang in rows like dried fruit. The craft is dying, the makers are old, the apprentices are few, but the caps still catch the morning light beautifully. I'd been told, and it's worth checking for yourself, that only a handful of workshops are left doing the traditional felt making by hand. I made a mental note to come back with more time, maybe next week, before heading toward the northern edge of the old city. I needed breakfast. Not a hotel buffet, not a cafe croissant, but something that tasted like Tunisia. I found a small place near Babnet, nothing fancy, plastic chairs, a counter with a stack of glasses, a man crushing garlic in a mortar. I ordered brik and waited. The pastry came out golden and crackling, wrapped around a runny egg and a chunk of tuna, with a wedge of lemon and a small dish of harissa on the side. I ate it standing at the counter because that seemed to be what everyone else was doing, and it cost about 3 dinars, less than a dollar. The oil dripped down my wrist, and I didn't stop to wipe it off. The day was already heating up. The forecast said 40 degrees, maybe 44 with the humidity, and the sky was a hazy white sheet. Summer in Tunis is not gentle. The locals know this and have built their days around it. Work early, lunch at noon, disappear behind shutters until 4 or 5, then reemerge when the air starts to move again. I'd been trying to ignore this rhythm, but my body was catching on. By 9:30, the streets were already thinning. So I did what the city does. I took the TGM light rail from Tunis Marine Station toward the coast, about 1.50 dinar for a ticket. The train runs along the water for the last stretch, past La Goulette with its painted fishing boats and the abandoned husks of old buildings, then closer to the sea, where the spray actually reaches the windows. I got off at Sidi Bouzid. Yes, it's the postcard village, the one with every blue and white house framed to perfection on Instagram. But it's also a real place with real people, and if you go on a Tuesday morning, you get it without the crowds. I climbed the cobbled streets toward the cliff's edge. The bougainvillea was in full fuchsia bloom, spilling over white walls, and the doors, those famous blue doors, were all shut against the heat. At the top, I found a seat at Café de Dalis, the terrace that hangs over the Gulf of Tunis. The mint tea arrived with a handful of pine nuts floating on top, sweet and scalding. The sea stretched out flat and silver below me, and a few fishing boats moved so slowly they seemed to be stuck in the heat. A glass of tea costs about 2 dinars. I sat there for an hour and watched nothing happen. This is the part of travel and of living anywhere new that doesn't show up in itineraries. The part where you're not doing anything, where you're just letting the place settle around you. I'd spent the past 3 days on paperwork, bank accounts, SIM cards, and the logistics of making a life. Today I was learning a different lesson, how to be idle in Tunis, and how that idleness is actually a kind of participation. The cafe was almost empty, but the waiters knew everyone by name, and the men at the next table were playing cards with a languid, practiced ease. Sidi Bouzid is only a few kilometers from Carthage, where the ancient ruins sit quietly among the summer villas of the rich. I'd walked the archaeological site 2 days ago, climbing Bursa Hill, and standing among the broken columns of the Antonine Baths, trying to imagine what it all looked like when it was new. The Punic ports, the Roman city, the whole layered history, It's all there, but on a day like today, the sea and the cicadas seem more alive than the stones. I decided I'd come back to Carthage in the cooler months, when I could take my time without the sun pressing down. By early afternoon, I was back in Tunis, the shutters of my flat closed against the white sun. I napped, which I haven't done since I was a child, and woke up to the sound of the muezzin for the afternoon prayer. The city was coming back to life. I knew the biggest question of the day was waiting, the Carthage International Festival. It's been running all summer in the ancient Roman theater at Carthage, and tonight's lineup included Sami Yusuf, the British singer who's apparently huge across the Arab world. Tickets are sold online through the Tascherty platform between 40 and 150 dinars. I'd been telling myself since I arrived that I'd go. I've been telling myself I should experience the festival, should see the theater at night, should do all the things a good traveler does. But standing in my kitchen, eating a late lunch of leftovers, some lablabi I'd reheated, the garlicky chickpea broth that costs about 4 dinars a bowl and tastes like comfort, I had to admit I wasn't sure I wanted the crowd. The festival is the social event of the summer, and everyone I'd met kept asking if I'd been yet. I checked my phone. Tascherty still had tickets for tonight. Alyssa, the Lebanese superstar, is coming later in the week, and the festival's 60th anniversary, I'm told, has made everything bigger and more expensive. I put the phone down and went back to my chickpeas. I decided to go, not because I wanted to exactly, but because this is why I'm here. To learn the rhythms, to show up, to be part of something even if I'm on my own in a crowd. I put on a cotton dress, the one that doesn't stick to you quite so badly, and took the TGM back out to Carthage, this time as the sun was starting to drop. The train was packed with families, teenagers with plastic cups of tea, older couples holding hands. Everyone was heading to the same place. The festival starts late in summer, after the heat breaks, and I'd heard the sunsets from the theater's hill are worth the price of admission alone. I got off at the Carthage Hannibal station and followed the human tied up the hill toward the theater. The site was flooded with warm evening light, the old Roman stones glowing amber. I hadn't bought a ticket in advance, but there were signs saying the box office at the theater wasn't open, that sales were only online. I stood at the gate, phone in hand, the payment page open, 150 dinars for a good seat, about $50. I thought about the mornings I'd spent here, about the mosaic floors in the Bardo Museum, and the way the city keeps its secrets just under the surface, about how much I still have to learn. I press confirm. The concert was everything I'd been too tired to imagine. The theater at night is not the same place. The ride home was loud and happy, the TGM carriages buzzing with post-concert chatter, the sky over the gulf a last deep blue. Back in my flat, I stood on the tiny balcony and watched the city lights flicker below. The night was warm, the air freighted with salt and grilled meat from the street stalls below. I thought about everything still ahead. The week left in Tunis, the run down the coast to Djerba in October, the year of learning this country and letting it learn me. I heard the cat again, meowing somewhere in the courtyard. I decided to call it a night. Aslima, Tunis. I'll be here in the morning. And that's it for today. I'm Rania Bensella. You're listening to Tunisia Travel Podcast, and I'm just getting started.